Programming is sponsored by Tom Tool III. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good afternoon, Greater Philadelphia area. This is Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Tom Tool. She's Sarah Timon. And we both work with the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline, the number one RE/MAX team in Pennsylvania and Delaware since 2018. Sarah, how's it going today?
Going pretty well. How's it going with you?
It's going well here. We got a new cameraman in the house, Gabe, one of our newest people to join the team. He doesn't have a mic, but he's streaming live, which is very exciting. Brett's producing, which is great. And we've got a guest coming in later today. His name is Tim. He runs a company called Nourish Kings that makes homemade smoothies from like sea moss and turmeric and all this really good natural stuff. I've had them, so they're very good, which will be cool. And before that, we're going to talk about some real estate topics as usual. So what we want to jump into first is some big news regarding conforming loan limits. So if you're thinking about buying a home or selling a home in the next, I would say, 12 months, I mean, the 2022 loan limits have gone up substantially for both FHA and conventional loans. And the numbers, just to give you an idea what this increase means, conforming loan limits increased to $647,200. That's a $98,950 increase from last year, or an 18% jump. And FHA loans, this is pretty surprising, Sarah. FHA loans, their loan limit is now $477,200 in the five-county area, because they get determined by a couple different variables. So we're talking about Philadelphia, Chester, Montgomery, Bucks, Delaware counties, and that's over $120,000 more than last year. This is pretty bananas.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. And I mean, I think, since 2017, there hadn't been like any increase.
Nope.
Even, you know, at all. So this was a massive jump, and we'll give buyers definitely some more options here.
So you're working with active buyers now, right? And mm-hmm. I think there's a couple things we'll talk about here and unpack this is how it's going to affect the market. But you've got a buyer maybe that's, you know, like, so you hear this news. What are you telling them right now? Because I see a couple advantages here for anyone that wants to get into the market.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell them to talk to their lender and, you know, really get a handle on what they can get approved for and what makes sense for them with their monthly budget. You know, being approved for something is great, but if that doesn't fit with your lifestyle and everything, you need to figure out, you know, for yourself what, in addition to what you're approved for, like what you feel comfortable paying. But this does open the door for a lot of people to really get into that dream home.
And when you think about this, like what FHA loans are designed for, and that's why I think this is the bigger of the two, although the conforming loan is important as well, and I'll explain in a second. I mean, the minimum credit score for an FHA is 580, right? Now, most lenders, they look for like 620 to 640, but if you've got credit issues, and I think this brings up another issue we can talk about, a lot of people don't know like how to manage their credit score. Like,
right.
You know, my 22-year-old self, like luckily I had some parents that gave me some good guidance, but I think we all have friends and people we know where like they didn't pay bills when they were younger, their credit got screwed up, and then they went to, you know, go borrow something and it actually affected their ability to do that. So mm-hmm. The people that maybe don't have great credit, or maybe they, you know, something happened during the pandemic and they weren't able to pay their bills too. I mean, there's a lot of folks that couldn't work. All of a sudden, you're able to jump up to almost $500,000 with an FHA loan that was normally at like, you know, 380, right?
Right.
So, I mean, they're not even, it was more like 350. I mean, that's a pretty significant difference. So do you think that's going to bring more buyers to the market? Like, talk to me a little bit more about how you think this actually affects the market. And I think the last thing we all need right now is more buyers, but that's the world we're living in.
Right. I mean, I think that it could bring some more buyers out. Some people who maybe didn't realize they were in a position where they actually could buy. I think, like, honestly, regardless of these new numbers out there, I think there's always going to be some new buyers that come into the market that didn't think that they were in a position that they could buy. And then as you talk to them, they realize that they actually are. I think where it's going to kind of have a little bit of a bigger impact is some people that were maybe looking in a little bit of a lower price range and just kind of kept not – not pulling the trigger on anything because it wasn't hitting the mark for what they were looking for. And getting that little bit of additional buying power can really push them into, wow, this is what I want. So I think that's where we're going to see a little bit more of a difference.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And there is a small part of the population I also see that are folks that, you know, have credit issues or didn't understand how to manage their money, but are making a pretty good income. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, to buy a home at, you know, $477,000, because you're putting 3.5% down. So that's basically the purchase price, right? So let's call it $500,000. I mean, typically people will buy a home that's four times their annual income. So that puts you at like $125,000,
sure.
Which is, I mean, that's more than the median income in our marketplace, which is right around $87,000. So I do see that as a big advantage. The conforming loan amount getting raised is also pretty substantial because, I mean, there's a big differentiation when you're in that conforming versus jumbo loan territory.
Right.
Where, you know, rates right now on a 30-year fixed conforming, and this is for 2021, they're coming in like 3 1/8, like 3 1/4-ish. But a jumbo rate's going to be 3.5 or higher. And unless you have a really good banking relationship. And when you think about that, those folks are typically coming in with like 20% down. So someone that's, you know, they're borrowing, you know, 650, let's call it 647. I mean, they're probably looking at like an $800,000 house. Mm-hmm. So that to me is also going to keep the higher price points moving a little better because the difference of like 3 1/8 versus 3.5 is pretty substantial in your monthly payment.
Absolutely.
So you talked about buyers upping their price range a little more. So have you seen buyers like they struggle kind of being right on the edge of that conforming loan amount where they don't want to get into jumbo territory or maybe they're just even a little scared about it?
Yeah. I've certainly seen that. That's definitely something that I've had going on. And even if you're not jumping between loan types there, I've also just seen a lot of people where they're right on the edge to getting into what they would really want if they could just go up a tiny bit higher. And I think, yeah, for the FHA, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, and I agree with you there and with jumbo rates too. So, I mean, the folks that are out there, and this also goes for people that are downsizing too. Think about someone in like one of these like 1.2 million homes and they want to downsize and maybe they don't want to put all the money into the house and buy cash. They want to, you know, maybe they have a lot of money in retirement or a SEP or something like that. So this is pretty big news. So, you know, for the folks that are thinking about buying or selling, I think the best thing to do is like get in touch with a lender, talk to someone who understands this, because this is the biggest increase we've seen in years. And I think it's a good win for buyers in a market that's been so seller friendly for the past 18, 20 months. So with that, like, I mean, and one of the things I kind of wanted to chat about here is the folks that have to go FHA because they don't know how to manage their money or what do you think are, and this isn't something we really prepped on the show, but do you think that's something that needs to get like addressed in like when like people are like in school, like in high school, college? I mean, is this something that people need to start, you know, teaching more? It needs to be part of the curriculum because there's a lot of people I know that have like that make really good money. I'm more than 120, like high six figure salaries, and their credit's screwed and they really can't do a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely that's something that they should be teaching kids before they mess up their credit, you know, because it's so easy to do early on. And then if you don't know the steps to take in order to rebuild it, or if you have a period of time there where you're not really needing to apply for anything, you might not realize how bad it is. And, you know, rebuilding credit takes time. It's not something, even if you have a great job and you know, have everything else in place there to support some purchases that you want to make. Rebuilding that credit is not an overnight fix. And it's, you know, that's one of the hard conversations that sometimes we have to have with people. I mean, typically it's more coming from the lender, but if they've spoken to the lender and then they're talking to you and then I just had a situation recently where, you know, there was a credit issue there and it's going to, you know, set everything back most likely for at least a year. And that's a hard blow to take when you think that you're in a position to be able to go out and do something right away. So I think learning that early on is something that absolutely would benefit you real life, have a big impact, you know, down the road.
Well, and I've been on the other side of that too, where like engaged couples and like one of them can't get on the loan because their credit's not good. I mean, and all of a sudden there's like people are embarrassed and they're nervous and there's all these like emotions going on. And when you're trying to like start a life together, it's like, oh no, what's this person going to think of me because my credit sucks? And
and
that's a normal feeling. I don't think there's anything, you know, I mean, and you're talking about the same thing. And then all of a sudden, folks can't buy. They don't know what to do. And think about if someone had to wait a year this past year. They lost out on so much equity.
Absolutely.
And so, and the heartbreak of and higher rates and the payment's going to be higher. So there's real life ramifications here. And what a lot of people don't get is how these scores are calculated. And there's really five categories. I thought it was a great time to go over this. Mm-hmm. The first is going to be payment history. And that's 35%, right? And I'd love you to chime in and see where your clients maybe have issues or don't have issues, because I've kind of seen it all. And it's really 30-day plus lates. So is that usually what your people run into that have credit issues, or what have you seen?
So I've seen a little bit of that. A lot of times, honestly, it's I'm getting from the lender like, hey, this is their score, and they're not necessarily breaking down for me why the score is what it is.
I
don't always actually know all of the details as to why it's low.
So what I've seen is payment history is a big one, especially for younger kids, because they don't realize like, oh, I got this credit card and I'm in college. I need to pay it every month. Right. I mean, I definitely had friends in college that did that. And I've had clients we worked with that, you know, that are like, oh, I'll just pay it later. I don't need to worry about it. And, you know, they got more than enough money to pay the bill. They just don't realize. And it's a problem. And then it takes years to rebuild. The second factor, and this one I've seen actually is a problem a lot, is the amount of money owed on the credit line. Like, people are just maxing out their credit constantly. That's 30% of the score. And especially with credit cards, like, your utilization needs to be below 50%. That's actually a major threshold because, you know, you think about a small business owner where they put a lot of stuff on like a credit card. I mean, you were in credit card processing, right? I mean, everyone has those machines and everything. Who was the guy, the Capital One guy? You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So Sarah and I met in a B&I group, and do you want to talk about how, like, his pitch was every month? Like, cause this was pretty interesting. He worked for Capital One Sparks, which is a 2% unlimited cash back credit card. I'll let you take the lead.
So, I think his pitch was basically that he would take a look at your company credit card. And if you could apply for this one and get, switched in, you would get each month, you would basically get a check from them, and it was like, put everything on the card.
And that was what I wanted to get to, where he's like, I'll find things in your company ledger that we can put on there. And what folks don't realize, and it depends how your company's set up, but I mean, for real estate agents, it's in your name, right? It's not, you know, it's Sarah Timon or Tom Tool. It's not, you know, Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Main Line. Like, we don't, and every state's different. And, you know, so that's what people, and people that have Amex do the same thing. Like, they want all the points and all the rewards and all that stuff. And I think that's a slippery slope for people when they're trying to buy a home and their credit score gets affected. And that can also affect the rate you get, too, just because rates are 3 1/8. It could actually be a higher rate because your credit utilization is too high or score's not there.
Right.
So that's a big component. And I mean, and the companies want you to do that because that's how they make money, right?
Absolutely.
Even though they give you that 2% cash back, it's like, great. Well, if your credit score's not any higher, it doesn't matter how much cash back you have. So that's number two. Credit history length is number three. That's 15%. Have you ever had a client that didn't have a credit score?
No.
So I have. He had to get a cell phone to buy the house. Luckily, his wife knew what she was doing. But this guy, and he was like, he didn't have bad credit. He just had literally no credit at all. So he had to get a cell phone, and then he went and got like a
utility bill.
Utility bill, yeah. And then he had to get like a store credit card from the mall when that was a thing, just to buy the home. And they had to wait 90 days. And I mean, luckily they didn't miss out on a property. This was back in 2010 when the market was a lot different. But that's an issue. And they also look at, like, how long these things are. So if it's under a couple years, like, you're actually viewed as a less worthy borrower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and, you know, people just don't know this stuff.
Right.
I mean, do you think your average client has any, and we're not even done yet, but they have any idea this is how it works?
Ones with bad scores, no.
Well, yeah. So, okay.
But
across
before
they
board,
find out they have a bad score.
Right. Probably not. I mean, I think that there's a majority of people don't realize what goes into your credit and what decisions you make as far as, exactly like you said, how much you're putting on it, how much you're paying down on it, how long you're keeping it, how that really all comes into play, and how that's going to have a much larger impact on your future than you might think.
For sure. And I think that's exactly what we wanted to get across here. So I'll go through the last two. It's not that big of a deal. New credit is 10%, and then credit mix is 10%. So, like, revolving accounts versus like a student loan, a car payment. So a revolving account is considered a credit card. I mean, Basically, credit cards are like the worst thing for you, is what I've learned. Although they can be a good tool for a lot of things, but and then there's like student loans, car loans, mortgages, obviously. So that's how your credit score gets calculated. So where that comes back is, I mean, can you imagine just like before you graduate high school, they give you like a 3-week class on like how to manage your finances as an adult?
Oh, that would be great.
Like in order to graduate, like I think that would be the easiest thing to do, and that would, you know, that would solve a lot of these people not being, you know, with FHA and there's other reasons people go FHA. That's not all of them, but this is one thing that I don't think it's talked about enough, and especially what, you know, when people are looking to buy and sell properties. So, you know, with that news, anything else you think buyers or sellers need to know with these new conforming loan limits? I mean, I what would you tell a seller right now? Because we really got into the buyer side, and we got a couple minutes here. What would you tell a seller you're meeting with? And let's say they're kind of right on the edge of these price points here.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that this could open the door for some buyers that maybe wouldn't have been an option prior to this happening. You know, little tweaks like this, not that this is little, this is, you know, these are big numbers that we're talking, but a little movement there on that can certainly open the door for people who, you know, this could be the home that they wanted that, you know, a week ago wouldn't have been as viable of an option.
Well said. And I would say, especially those folks that are in that like just under $1 million price mm-hmm. range, this to me is a big deal, because what I know is that so far this year, just under 7% of all the homes that sold were above that like $700,000 price range, plus or minus, depending on what county you're in. So all of a sudden, now you're getting buyers that are jumping up, and you save that quarter of a point, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're looking at like 3 point, and let's do the math here to give everyone an idea. So we have, let's say the rates today are, you know, 3.125, and you're going up to 3.5 on a jumbo. Well, that's a difference of $250 a month, almost $245.81 at a $900,000 sale price with 20% down. So that's big savings. I mean, and that's what keeps people from qualifying a lot of times, because most buyers always go to the maximum payment they can afford anyway, right?
Right.
So there's an advantage for sellers here, more affordability. Advantage for buyers, you can kind of jump up into another price point. So, and I think this is great news for the market.
Yeah, I think this is fantastic.
Awesome. So on that note, I don't think there's anything more negative to say about this, because there's nothing negative. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about an interesting piece of real estate news. Better.com had to lay off a substantial amount of people on a Zoom call. And we'll talk about some of this like high-end investing in real estate tech. And then we're going to come back. We got Tim from Nourish Kings here for our final segment. We're going to talk about his awesome business regarding, you know, the health food space, smoothie, sea moss, turmeric, all sorts of stuff. This is Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM.
Have you considered a career in real estate? Do you want control over your income? Whether you have a license or not, call us today at 610-692-6976 or visit tomtool.com. Join our team, the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline.
When you're getting a mortgage, you shouldn't have to sacrifice great service just to get a great rate. At Mortgage America, we've been lending with this philosophy for over 35 years. We have access to great low rates without the complications and delays of big or online banks. We're a local Pennsylvania lender with loan officers that you can actually meet. As PHFA's number one lender, we specialize in all residential mortgage programs, including first-time buyer programs and low-down payment options. For your free pre-approval, call us at 610-439-8000 or apply online at mymortgageamerica.com.
Mortgage America is equal housing lender, NMLS 128501.
Buying a home or already own one? We can help. I am Kevin Hamill from Alliances Insurance Agency. If you haven't reviewed your policies in the last 3 years, now's the time. New home buyers, there are a number of ways that we can help you get to that settlement table. Call us to find out more at 610-816-0043, extension 3, or visit our website, alliancesinsurance.com. Don't forget the S, it's for savings.
The real estate market is red hot. Have you considered taking advantage? Call the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX at 610-692-6976 or visit our website, tomtool.com, to connect and take advantage of these market conditions.
All right, we are back on Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Tom Tool. She's Sarah Timon. Got Gabe behind the camera. Tim is sitting in. He's ready for the next segment. Super excited to have him come on and talk about his company, Nourish Kings. And again, Sarah and I work with the Tom Tool sales group at RE/MAX Mainline, the number one RE/MAX team in Pennsylvania and Delaware since 2018. And we're streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, I think Instagram. I'm not really sure. By the way, Nick, did you see Nick's baby? So our other photographer, Nick, had a baby last week. And the kid was huge. It was like 9.5 pounds. It was a monster. So very exciting. So, you know, happy for Nick, you know, that we miss him this week, but he'll be back soon. So the next story we wanted to come to you with, and this is more like what's in the news, because I think that the loan limits obviously help a lot of buyers and sellers. So Better.com, which is basically like an online lender, if you don't know what they are, they had a pretty interesting couple of days here where the CEO of Better was on a Zoom call, and he basically got on the Zoom call and laid off 900 employees, and this was yesterday. And then someone took a TikTok video of him and put it out there, and I mean, it's a massive amount of layoffs. It's 9% of the company. And if you don't know what Better.com is, so I'll give you guys some perspective here. So they have a couple guarantees that they offer. They're an online lender. They offer an appraisal guarantee and a cash offer guarantee coupled with a discount for using one of their realtors. So that's how they recoup the money. Okay. The appraisal guarantee is, the short of it is, hey, if your home doesn't appraise, don't worry about it. We're closing.
Like, they're going to cover the difference?
They will cover the difference. And then that's the short of it. And I'll read exactly what it means here from their website, because I think this is pretty interesting. You seem pretty surprised by this. I've actually submitted my information on Better.com, and it's a typical, like, online lender. They text you all the time, everything else. And then they also have a cash sale guarantee, which I'm waiting for this to pull up here. But the point is, they're one of these online lenders that you can't get a hold of anybody. You get kicked around to tons of different departments, and they laid off a lot of people on a Zoom call. So while we're waiting for their services to come up, what do you think about all this, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a great way to be let go of. I think in the article it had said that, you know, all the people that were on this particular call, it was just like, all right, and you are all now being laid off. Not that there's any great way to get the news, but that seemed, you know, a little blunt. And then I think he, came back later saying, hey, this was actually your fault, because a lot of the, like, these employees that were laid off were only working, they were logging in like they were working full days, but really they were only working a couple hours, and was kind of trying to shift some blame there after the fact.
I mean, you know, unfortunately, you're right. There's no easy way to fire somebody. I've had to fire more people than I would have liked. And every time I've done it in person, mm-hmm. as much as I didn't want to, as awkward as it is, that's like the worst conversation, right? Yeah. I mean, it's basically you're breaking up with someone only, like you're just fired, and it affects their income, it affects their family. There's nothing good about that. So, you know, that's pretty disappointing. And I mean, the interesting thing I found about this was that even despite the layoffs, there was an article on Housing Wire that came out, and that reported on the 1st that they were laying off 9% of the workforce, but they just got a $750 million cash injection from SoftBank.
Right.
So, and they were very refi heavy, which might be one of the reasons why. But seeing that they're getting all that money, I mean, what do you think's going on behind the scenes here? I mean, is this a poorly structured company? Is it someone that can't follow through on their promises? I mean, you know, you're in the industry, you're on the outside. What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say for sure, but given that they were getting that much of a cash injection and that they're letting go of that many employees, you know, even if they were kind of changing from being heavier on the refi end, and now they're trying to go more into new loans, it seems a little off. I feel like there had to be some type of, you know, some type of mistake there on the higher up, as they were kind of figuring out what their game plan was here with that money coming in.
I do agree. And you know, then this is a concern, I think, with Wall Street in general, because in November they disclosed to the SEC that they were going to lose $85 to $100 million in the third quarter, and they were going to widen in the fourth quarter. And they were very refi heavy. And refis aren't a thing anymore because rates are going up. Like, this is what always happens. And, you know, I look at mortgages very similarly to the real estate sales business, because you want to always have like the purchase loans coming in. Like those are the people that need to get a loan, right? That's I think the harder loan to convert in a lot of cases, almost like listings versus buyers, right? You want to bring in more listings because that's going to drive your business, right? The refis are just, hey, you gave me a good rate. Great. I'm out. I'm already in the home.
Yep.
So I see that as usually these companies that fail, they tend to be refi focused. So that's a great observation on your part. What I also get concerned about is they're getting all this capital injected, and it's in the form of a convertible note. You look at SoftBank coming in here. I mean, SoftBank has had a history of investing in companies in real estate, whether it's like fintech or prop tech is what they call it, which is like the real estate side. But they've invested in WeWork, right? That didn't go well. That CEO got fired. It was like a total embarrassment. SoftBank has invested in Compass. Compass's stock price is down 52% since the IPO. So, when you look at these companies that they're betting on, and I'm clear these VCs are missing the mark because they're betting on the online faster, quicker, better company. But it seems like what people want when it comes to real estate is that local expert. They want someone that knows the market or understands how the market works from a finance side. I mean, even the last segment we talked about, the loan limits for FHA are going to be different if you're in different counties.
Right.
Have you had an online lender like ever screw up something for you before?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, it gets screwed up. You get passed around from department to department. It's very difficult to get a straight answer or to get a quick response. And a lot of times in these situations, you need to be able to know that you can get in touch with the person that you need to speak to that's been working your file, that knows what the situation is, and that can work on tight timelines and quick turnarounds. And knowing, the local situations and what's, if it's going to change county to county and things like that. I mean, that's huge in terms of being able to, one, get it done correctly and not have
yes.
to like go back later and reevaluate things, and give your clients, the most up-to-date options that are available for them, because they could be missing out on something that, that they're not aware of.
Well, you bring up a really great point, because I look at a couple basic things we deal with that lenders often don't pick up on. The way transfer tax is paid in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. right? In New Jersey, the seller pays the whole thing. In
yep.
Pennsylvania, it's split. In Philadelphia, it's higher
yep.
than the suburban counties, with the exception of a couple townships.
Mm-hmm.
So a local lender is going to know that. Typically,
right.
the internet lender or better or whomever probably doesn't, right?
Yep.
That would be the first one. Think about the tax reassessment in Delaware County
mm-hmm.
or in Philadelphia. Like, yeah. I mean, have you live in Philly? Have your taxes gone up since the reassessment? Like, I mean, because I know I don't know if your neighborhood got hit that hard, but I know other places they like doubled or tripled.
Ours didn't go up a ton, but I mean, but again, that does, it changes area.
Changes annually
area.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, but these are things like a local lender's going to know and a local agent's going to know. So that's where, as much as everyone wants like big tech to get into the real estate market, I mean, let's look at Zillow and the iBuying, right?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't go so well for them.
Nope.
I mean, they canceled a ton of contracts recently, by the way, too, because they can't follow through on them. So, all this stuff is great that people want to innovate, but if they don't have the right people on the ground, I think it's going to be a challenge. I mean, we're seeing these companies constantly fail.
Yeah. And I mean, and you want, as those numbers are coming in from the lender, as you're getting closer to settlement, you need those lenders' numbers to be correct, because we do different estimates on our end, but ultimately the lender has, they are able to make different adjustments and input different things that we aren't able to do as much when we're giving like a broader estimate. So like you need those numbers from the lender to be spot on and not have it be a situation where, hey, it's settlement and, oh no, here are these last minute things, or we didn't realize the transfer tax, or you need that stuff correct.
Well, and I'll take it one step further. The person who really doesn't want to deal with them is not so much the consumer, it's the real estate agent, right? And because no matter what happens in these transactions, and I've got no problem with this. I've been doing this a long time. I think you're going to sympathize with me here, Sarah. No matter what happens, whether the lender screws up, the title company screws up, anybody screws up, who is the one left holding the bag every time?
The realtor.
The realtor, 100% of the time. And I look at lenders like offensive linemen. So you follow football, right? You went to Clemson. So
sure did.
You know what? You don't want to hear the offensive lineman's name getting called, because that means the
right.
quarterback just got destroyed, or like a bad play happened, or something like that. And these companies, we're seeing this now with all the VC money that came into real estate, that they're able to scale, but if they don't have the right people on the ground locally, that's where the challenge is. And look at what Zillow's doing right now. They're leaning back into their local agents that they're partners with, not going away from them because they probably underestimated the value of someone local on the ground.
Sure.
So do you see more of these? Like, I mean, I don't think this company's going out of business. I mean, it says they got more money. They're going to lean into their balance sheet. I mean, what do you see in the future for companies like Better or Rocket Mortgage or these large companies? Because they still do a lot of business.
They still do a lot of business. I think there's something that people are always going to, you know, on a quick, oh, I've got to get an offer in and I haven't talked to anyone yet. If they don't ask for a recommendation from their agent or whatever, there's always going to be people that are going to go to this, go to these sites to get like a quick pre-approval or get like a quick, you know, some quick info. But I'm curious as to how many start with them in the process, ultimately make it to the table with them. I'm sure that there's a bit of changeover throughout the process there for, you know, maybe you started with, you know, one of these companies and then you haven't been able to get in touch with them. You haven't been able to get answers back. And then maybe you do reach out to a local agent because you do have a time frame there when you first go under contract that you don't have to go with who you submitted your information with. So, you know, I'm sure there is some changeover that happens early on in the transaction or if things fall apart in the transaction. And I mean, that's not to say that that these companies don't get people to settlement and that they don't, you know, that things don't work out with them. But I think there'll always be people that go there just because it's quick, it's easy, it's online, it's minimal FaceTime there. You know, I think my recommendations would always be to go with the local guys.
Well, and I'd imagine there's good people that work at this company.
Oh, for sure.
And what happens is that there's not that like one person that's responsible because the reason people come to the realtor is because, you know, realtors that take responsibility often do the most business because they're in there helping. And like, I mean, you don't get, you know, it doesn't really help an agent to use one mortgage company or another except getting to the table, which is what the buyer or seller wants anyway. And you bring up a great point that I think you got to look at, like, who's going to give me the right service? Are they going to close on time? Are they going to tell me the fees? And are the fees going to be right? Which is a big question because these mistakes happen all the time. And you're talking about thousands of dollars here.
Yep.
And we've seen that with some out-of-state lenders where they don't, like, the transfer tax is off or they don't know how to prorate taxes. And this is stuff local people tend to know a lot of. So this is a good sign. And I think, you know what's happened, too? The market started to slow down a little bit. And now all these big companies that were just there just slamming volume because they could. This is what always happens on the front end of a shift. It's no different than these other companies that have come and gone or have gone out of business that were, you know, discount brokers or online lenders. So, you know, with that, I mean, you know, looking at how we see the market, you know, so you think they're going to stay in business. There's going to be more of these startups. We're agreeing local is better. So what are some of the questions like you'd be asking if you don't know any better and you're a buyer, right? I mean, because, you know, everyone always thinks the agent's like they're referring people out that they know or their friends. But what are questions you'd be asking lenders to avoid stuff like this happening? Because right now, if I had a mortgage loan processing with Better, I'd be very nervous. Like, is it going to close on time? What's going to happen? Who's there? I mean, this is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it was at the beginning of the process, I'd asked how much, you know, business they've done locally, or have they had any transactions go through in this same county? What are steps that I need to do in order to make sure this gets done? Because I think it's pretty easy to you start down the road in these transactions, and you're
great point.
You're assuming that, you know, the lender is going to be telling you each step because you have a mutual interest here of getting this done. But I think one of the best things you can do off the bat is kind of assume some responsibility there with like, all right, give me the checklist. You know, like, what do I need to do? What's the process for reaching out? What is response time? Just so that you can know what to expect from the get-go. And that you're not, you know, calling 15 times in one day.
Yeah,
if you know that it's like, we get back to you the next day. Or, you know, I think it's important to kind of have your expectations in line. Know what you need to do in order to get it done, and then also so that you can hold them responsible, that they do their part.
I think that's great advice, is that you get clear up front when you can make a change, because you're right. Once you kind of get into the transaction, like you're 3-4 weeks in, making a change is tough. You might not close on time, and some sellers may be like, hey, I think the price of my house just went up. So see you later. Like, I'm out of here the way the market's been. So I love that advice. That's really good. So regarding better here, like, I mean, do you, like, how do you think that they come out of this? Like, is this company still going to be in business in a couple years? Talk to me what you anticipate here, and then I'll give you my take. Then we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk to Tim from Nourish Kings here, which I'm excited about.
Well, they got a big cash injection, and they also have, more guaranteed money coming down the line. So I think that if they, play their cards right and kind of come up with a good strategy here and figure out how to keep, new clients coming in as well, like as the refis went down, if that's where they were kind of like relying on a lot of their business before, if they can figure out a way to get new clients in as well as manage what they've got, I think there'll still be a place for them. But they have to plan accordingly.
I mean, I think the CEO might need to start worrying about his job here. I mean, he's the founder, so it all depends how the board's set up and corporate governance, which can be pretty challenging. I do agree with you. They need a better strategic plan. And one of the things I read in the article here, you mentioned it, is that, the CEO came out and just kind of badmouthed all the employees and said they're only averaging 2 hours a day while clocking in 8 hours. Well, what's the oversight there? Like, where's the accountability in the company? I mean, to me, that's his fault. It's always your fault when you're running a company. You've heard me say that how many times? I will take blame for things no matter what, because there's always something you can do differently. Mm-hmm. And, that to me is what a good leader does. So, I have a problem with how he's approaching it here, and I think that's going to be hard for them in a hiring world right now where it's very hard to hire people.
Right.
Now, they just laid off some, so they don't need them, but, if they're going to ramp volume up, that could be a challenge. So, I agree with you. They need to have better accountability within the company, because, I mean, that's an absolute disaster. You're paying people for one-fourth of the time. They're only working one-fourth of the time you're paying for. Like, I mean, you're getting ripped off. So that's on them. What I say for the agents listening or the local lenders listening is there's a way to beat these companies. And we talk about this all the time internally. And that's beat people on the local level, right? Because I guarantee you a lot of consumers aren't even talking about this. Just like when Zillow had their horrible earnings call, right? Consumers weren't talking about it. Realtors were just laughing. And I actually saw a couple posts and social media reactions from some mortgage people I know, and they were like, ha, 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 this is what happened. And I'm like, great, guys. Well, instead of making fun of them, why don't you talk about how you're different than them? What's your differentiation? And that's where lenders can beat these companies, is on the local level. Small businesses make up the majority of businesses in the United States, and a small business is anyone that has revenue less than $5 million. So, I mean, that to me is the opportunity here. Just like realtors want to know how to beat Zillow, beat them on the local level, be the local brand. You could do the same thing with mortgages here, because these companies are, whether this company survives or not, there's going to be another one. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a Rocket Mortgage that maybe people hate that have rebranded since Quicken, but they're still really successful companies. They just don't like the service they get.
Right.
And it comes back on the realtor and everyone else. So that would be the advice I have for agents. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I mean, I think that sums it up. I think that knowing the local market that's what gets you to the end. So
100%.
I think that's a smart move, and you want to position yourself with people that know the local market.
Love it, Sarah. Good stuff. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We got Tim McMenamin here, the owner of Nourish Kings, one of the best smoothies I've ever had. I'm really excited for this because I'm a weird health food nut. This is Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM.
Have you considered a career in real estate? Do you want control over your income? Whether you have a license or not, call us today at 610-692-6976 or visit tomtool.com. Join our team, the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline.
Buying a home or already own one? We can help. I am Kevin Hamill from Alliances Insurance Agency. If you haven't reviewed your policies in the last 3 years, now's the time. New home buyers, there are a number of ways that we can help you get to that settlement table. Call us to find out more at 610-816-0043, extension 3, or visit our website, alliancesinsurance.com. Don't forget the S, it's for savings.
When you're getting a mortgage, you shouldn't have to sacrifice great service just to get a great rate. At Mortgage America, we've been lending with this philosophy for over 35 years. We have access to great low rates without the complications and delays of big or online banks. We're a local Pennsylvania lender with loan officers that you can actually meet. As PHFA's number one lender, we specialize in all residential mortgage programs, including first-time buyer programs and low down payment options. For your free pre-approval, call us at 610-439-8000 or apply online at mymortgageamerica.com. Mortgage America is equal housing
lender. The real estate market is red hot. Have you considered taking advantage? Call the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX at 610-692-6976 or visit our website, tomtool.com, to connect and take advantage of these market conditions.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to the final segment of Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Tom Tool, she's Sarah Timon, and we have Tim McMenamin here, special guest, the owner of Nourish Kings, which is a smoothie and health food company. Tim, thanks for coming on, my friend, number one. Super stoked to have you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your company, yourself, and then we'll kind of go from there.
All right, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me out. So, Nourish Kings was started about 10 months ago during the pandemic. I'm a type 1 diabetic. I got some health issues, and I wasn't really sure what was going to come with everything that was going on. So, like, I just started doing a bunch of research, looking into some health things, like how I could change my diet, how I could protect myself from everything that was going on outside. And I came across sea moss, right? And I started doing – sea moss is a natural remedy that's in the smoothies. It grows in warm water and cold water. So I personally get my sea moss from St. Lucia. I get it raw. I make it into a gel, which is then put into the smoothies, right? And what sea moss does, it contains 92 of the 102 minerals that your body needs to function, right?
Wow.
So it's filled with vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. So one thing like that I lacked is all of that about like 2 years ago. I was always on the move. I ate like crap. Was always eating fast food. So like I had a lot of adjustments that I had to make. So like I started taking sea moss, and then after I started seeing the benefits of after about like 30 days, like so some minor stuff, just like it. So I started to have more energy. That's one thing. So it gives you more energy. It's really good for your muscles, your bones, thyroid, people with high cholesterol, high blood pressure. It's really good for your sex drive. It's really good for your hair, your nails, your skin. And it's amazing for your immune system, right? So it's like I started taking it, and then after about like a month, I started having a lot more energy when I woke up. I stopped taking. I used to drink a lot of coffee. I used to drink a lot of Red Bull in the morning, and I stopped taking as much, right? So now like I really only average about like maybe a cup of coffee in the morning. I'll still have one. But I also use the smoothies as a meal replacement. So every morning, like, I don't eat breakfast. I only have a smoothie, which, I have tons of different flavors of organic fruit that I buy and I freeze. And that's why I call them smoothies because, I've had juices and people buy juices all the time at places. But the consistency of frozen fruit just mixes differently. Mm-hmm. And it's thicker and it fills you up a little bit, right? So sea moss is also good for weight loss, too. A lot of people, when we wake up in the morning, we think that we're hungry, right? Because our mind's telling us, our stomach's talking to us, our body's talking to us. But we're really just craving all of the nutrients, vitamins, and minerals that sea moss contains, right? So one thing I started to notice as I was drinking these smoothies was that I'm like, damn, I'm still hungry. Before I would drink the smoothie, and then I'll have a smoothie, I'd be like, I know that this didn't like fill me up, right? Because I would eat breakfast and then I'll eat again like 3 hours later just because I was kind of like unhealthy. I wasn't like fat, but I was just like, I just ate a lot. I was able to just digest it. And then over time, I just started to notice. I was like, wow, this stuff really does just suppress your appetite, right? I didn't have any like crazy weight loss myself from it, but I'm just saying it can be used vitally for that, because like the gel, I also sell gel too. Sea moss gel comes in a 16-ounce jar. You can just take the sea moss straight, so like it doesn't have to get put into drinks. I put it into drinks because I personally can't take it straight, so I started to put it in drinks, and then people started to try them, and then that's how the drinks just like shot off. So people like buy a week's supply every week. People buy 2 weeks supply because, you know, they'll buy a 2 weeks supply. They'll put the other seven in the freezer. They'll keep seven mm-hmm. in the fridge. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how we got turned on to you guys, because I was so you had your ginger shots, which is another product you have, and I was at Naughty Donuts in Ocean City taking my kids there, and you know what goes on down the shore, right? So I was a little hungover, I'll be very honest, and I'm like, man, this ginger shot looks like it's gonna do me right, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it just the and I don't know what you put in those, but I mean, that was pretty interesting to me, and I loved like the product placement in the local stores.
So I started to make ginger shots a little bit after I started making the smoothies, right? It took me a little while to come down with like the exact recipe for that. And then once I got it down, I was like, man, I could really do something with these too, because I was trying ginger shots all over the place. And, you know, most of the time I was getting them at like Trader Joe's and mm-hmm. Wegmans and things of that sort. And they have preservatives in them. So everything that I do is fresh press. There's no preservatives in them. There's nothing like added to it to keep it alive longer. Like, you can buy a ginger shot from Trader Joe's, it'll stay good in the fridge for 5 months. If you're buying a ginger shot from me, it's good for 18 days. There's ginger, lemon, and apple in these ginger shots, right? And they're like, it's almost like a shot of espresso, right? And the reason I started taking, without caffeine in it, but I started taking ginger too, because it's really good for your immune system. It kickstarts your digestion. It wakes you up and it just protects you, man. Like, it's the between the sea moss and the ginger, it was just, I haven't had a cold in 10 months, right? I've been taking the sea moss for like a year and a half now, but this stuff, like, you know, I had to experience it for myself. I was taking all of this stuff for some time before I like started my business and stuff. And like, I went into Naughty Donuts and I was like, well, the way I can get these off the ground, I'd only been in business for like 3 or 4 months at the time, right? So I walked into Naughty Donuts and I said to the owner, I said, listen, I know that you sell donuts in here. They're not like the healthiest thing. And I'm coming to present you with a healthy product. But I think that people will come in here, and while they're standing trying to figure out of the 100 different things that they can put on their donut,
mm-hmm.
they're going to see these ginger shots and be like, wow, well, this will, you know, if I get these donuts and I take this ginger shot, everything will be all right, you know. And then also just
choices.
And then just with, you know, everybody being outside again this summer, it was like, you know, they'll know that it's going to protect them too, right? Like, if they continue to take these shots. So I went into Naughty Donuts. I said, listen, I'm going to give you 25 shots. You can sell them for whatever you want. I was like, you know, this is what I would sell them to you for. And I was like, you sell them for whatever you want. It was Friday morning. I dropped them off. He called me at 5 o'clock later that day. He said, all 25 are gone. I need 50 more tomorrow.
I mean, Chris is a great guy. I mean, my kids insist on going there. Like, we can walk to that place, and which I love. So how'd your business start? Because I think that's, like, I love to hear that you're in local stores, and I'd love to, you know, see how we can help you out and get you into more places. But, so you're making these drinks, taking the sea moss. Like, what made you decide, hey, like, did people approach you, or what happened?
So it was more like, I had no education on any of the natural remedies, right? Like, what they could do for you. Like, I've been a type 1 diabetic for 28 years.
Wow.
The sea moss has decreased my insulin intake by 40%.
Wow.
So I used to take 3-4 shots a day of insulin. Now I take 1 or 2. It all depends on how active I am, if I went to the gym that day. But even if I didn't go to the gym, the sea moss has, like, just done so much for my body that I was like, I wanted to educate my friends on it, my family. And, you know, at first, like, nobody was really trying to listen because they have, like, heard.
This guy just keeps talking about sea moss. Like,
exactly.
I don't know.
I mean, listen, before the pandemic hit, I would have probably said the same thing to you, right? Like, I always, like, took care of my diabetes, but, like, anything else other than that, like, I wasn't really worried about it because, like, my A1C was always in check with my diabetes, that I was just like, I'm going to eat whatever I want because I can still, you know, as long as I mm-hmm. take my insulin. And then, you know, the pandemic's what really, like, opened my eyes to everything. So then I started to make all this stuff, and I hand label everything too. So all the bottles, like, that you see in stores, and my ginger shots, like, you know, I sit for hours and just label bottles. And it takes a lot out of you, right? But it's like, you know, I do everything to myself. So, you know, it's just all part of, like, the process so far with what's going on. I'm sorry, what was it you...
So how did you decide, like, did people start approaching you to, like, buy the drinks, or, like, how'd that come about?
So I'm the type of person that, like, at night I don't sleep really good because, like, my brain is just always running with ideas. It never stops. People always say, like, what are you thinking right now, Tim? I'll be like, I just look at them. I just stare at them. I'm like, I can't really explain it to you because my mind's just, you know, I've always just, I have all these crazy ideas all the times of like how I can put myself in position to potentially start a business or make money. And finally, like, somebody was just like, look, man, take a chance, right? Like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, you couldn't lose any more than I already didn't have. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was like, all right, screw it. So, like, you know, I turned my Instagram account, which was at the time my personal Instagram account, I turned it into my business page, and I just deleted, like, all my personal, like, pictures off it and, like, family-oriented stuff. And I just turned it into Norse Kings, and then I started posting stuff on there. And then, you know, like, one person bought it, and then, you know, then I had so many strangers contacting me on Instagram, which was, like, you know, at first, you're, like, people are putting these orders in, and then are they going to answer the phone the next day when I take it to them?
Cause, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, I get up, I make all this stuff in the middle of the night. I have, like, a delivery fee, too. Like, I will bring it to you, you know? But, like, if I don't know you, and then I'm going to take this 25-minute drive, and then they're not home,
right,
or they're not answering. I'm like, most of the time, if they gave me their actual address, I'm like, well, I'm going to knock on the door anyway.
Well, yeah.
You know, if they don't answer, because they already gave me their address. But it mainly, like, I had a lot of friends that did support me in the beginning, but like then you kind of see, like, as you start a business, like, I have more strangers that support me today than, like, I do that, like, kids that I grew up with, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I do have a solid group of people still that, like, I've been friends with forever that, like, you know, they continue to take this stuff and they believe in the things that I told them, and they still purchase everything every week and they're happy with everything that's going on. But, you know, the power of social media and word of mouth is, like, you know, one person tags my stuff. It's like Chris kind of put me on the map, like, mm-hmm. this summer. Like, he really, like, you know, he took a chance with just even considering to sell the ginger shots. And then after the summer ended, like, we did so much business with just ginger shots. I was like, what am I going to do to continue to push my brand, like, outside here, like in Jersey and in Pennsylvania, you know? And then I was able to lock like two or three more accounts in, like, kind of like a month after I got home from the summer.
That's great.
So
where can people buy? I mean, so Instagram, for everyone listening, we're going to plug this a couple times. It's at Norse Kings. So just like you would think it is, N-O-U-R-I-S-H, Kings, K-I-N-G-S. What stores are you in now? What stores would you like to get into? Maybe they're listening. Maybe we got a connection. Maybe there's someone there. I mean, part of this is to, you know, help you grow your business.
Yeah, absolutely. So as of like today, there's a gym in Conshohocken. It's called Vision Fit. It's on Elm Street. It's like right off the water. They were destroyed during the hurricane in September.
Oh, geez.
So then when they opened back up, I donated a bunch of stuff to the gym. And then everyone was drinking everything in the gym, and they were like, oh, how are we going to get this stuff back, right? So then now me and that gym work very closely. They run through stuff every single week. Everyone's very health conscious in there. So I have a great relationship with them. There's a couple different places. There's a couple different places in New Jersey that are on and off with carrying my stuff. There's a plant-based restaurant in Audubon on Merchant Street. It's called Lesby Veggies. She carries my ginger shots on and off. There was my gym that I personally go to is called Belm Strength and Conditioning in Gloucester City, New Jersey. They carry everything. They have, as of next week, they'll have a big sign in their gym that they'll have all the packages for drinks and shots. There was an MMA gym in New Jersey that was carrying them. I'm in the works right now, hopefully locking down a sponsorship with an up-and-coming athlete that I can't really speak on too much at the moment. But
you can tell us after the show. It's okay.
There's some things going on. And, you know, where I see stuff in the future, I don't really ever want a storefront. I just want to be able to supply a bunch of different places.
I don't think that'd be the right move for you. I think you want to be in retail shops. I mean, you know, there's places like Carlino's Specialty Foods, right? And like, it's kind of like Naughty Donuts, like things like that. So, I mean, you know, certainly, you know, we'll connect with you afterwards. Any connections we have, we'd love to put you in touch. I mean, I'm one of those strangers, right? Like, I sent you a DM on Instagram, right? This is how he came to my house. And I was like, man, these things are awesome. So I can certainly attest to the value of the smoothie. So you got anything you want to jump in and ask there?
I've got a CMOS question. Okay. So you said it's cold water and warm water, and you're getting it from St. Lucia?
Yes.
So did you try around with a couple different ones, or what made you land on that as your source?
So there was another supplier that I was getting it from, and then like I just it got to a point where like I had to start buying it in bulk, right?
Yeah.
'Cause I was spending a lot of money, like just buying like a little amount, mm-hmm. and then once I had built my business up, that I was able to buy it in bulk. I started to deal with a different supplier that like I trusted just because he had a lot of like views on YouTube and I watched a lot of his videos and I did a lot of research on him, and like a close friend of mine like had put me in contact with this person. Like I don't like call him on the phone and talk to him directly, but like we email and things of that sort. So I had just started to buy his product for a couple months, and then after seeing how smooth everything went with dealing with him, then I was like, I just stuck with him. Because yeah. there is actually, like, supposedly a lot of, like, fake CMOS on the street.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
People sell it, like, all over the city to stuff, like, on the street and stuff. Like, at, like, stands, like, up and down Staten Ave. Like, yeah, I've heard, like, a lot of like, crazy different stuff. But one thing I can say, if you get it from me, it's 100% authentic. So
it's the good stuff.
Yeah.
And then what is the time frame from, you said you turn it from the like raw CMOS into a gel. What kind of, how long of a process is that?
So I let it soak in water for about 24 to 36 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it sits and it soaks and then I blend it into a gel.
Okay.
The gel only takes about 10, 15 minutes to make.
Okay.
And then it's good for about 30 days, right?
Right.
You can leave it in your fridge. You can freeze it, too. You can freeze it for, like, 6 months, take it out, and then use it, and it'll be fine for 30 days outside of it being frozen. If you're going to keep it in the fridge, usually people that are just taking it straight, they're going to go through it within about 10 to 12 days.
Okay.
So if they're taking, like, 2 teaspoons a day like they should, they'll go through it in about 10 to 12 days. So most of the time it won't even make it till the 30 days anyway.
Okay.
But there's a lot of different like myths and beliefs. Like, you know, you can keep it, the lid off, supposedly it stays good for like 50 days. I go through so much of it that it's,
you don't need to worry about
it
that.
It doesn't stay in my,
I'm
constantly making new gel like every day. So
yeah.
It doesn't, you know, I don't like pre-make the drinks. If you order from me, if I say I'm going to be there Thursday, everything's getting made Thursday morning.
Okay.
I don't make anything Tuesday, Wednesday and leave it in my fridge.
Okay.
Everything's made daily.
Awesome.
So we got like a minute here. Someone wants to place an order or get in touch with you. What's the best way to reach out?
So, yeah, like Tom said, you can reach me on Instagram at Nourish Kings. And that's about it. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on TikTok. Honestly, I just don't have the time to deal with any other network other than Instagram. So you can find me on there.
Perfect.
So these smoothies are legit. I am a smoothie connoisseur. I totally believe in them. So at Nourish Kings, Tim, thanks for coming on, my friend. Glad we were able to get this going. This is going to be on all the other social media platforms for you later this week, so don't worry about that.
Awesome.
You want to follow Sarah. She's at Ty_TyTime. That's Ty_TyTime. That's on Instagram. You can follow me at TomTool3rd, TomTool3RD on Instagram. You want to follow the show, just Google Tom Tool Sales Group. We stream live every week on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram as well. Gabe, great job on your first show. Brett, thanks as always. This is Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM.